So we pray, Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the word you gave the prophet, proving it was your word by vindicating yourself to the prophet and the prophet to us, and the word consequently by that same vindicated manifestation. And we are happy, Lord, that he brought us truth that from your word, scripture by scripture, and then even illustrated so many things to us through life, how that you do these wonderful works to help give us knowledge of yourself and the way of life, and such knowledge will bring us to the place, Lord, of immortality, because we'll be walking in the light as you are in the light and have fellowship one with another in the blood cleansing us and going right across that river, Lord, to eternity. Help us to take the word to heart this morning. Just simply believe it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, you know, Brother Branham mentioned one time how that doctor gives you penicillin, and the penicillin kills the germs, and that's like when you take rat poison and you kill the rats, but that doesn't mend the holes. And it takes your life processes to build your body up. And I was thinking the same thing. The blood of Jesus Christ may cleanse us from sin, and that's like killing the rats, but it doesn't mend the holes. You need the baptism with the Holy Ghost to get you immortal life. And that's what happens. The baptism gives us immortality. And in this very hour, we're looking for it. Also, I was noticing here in 1 Corinthians that Paul, who Brother Branham actually supersedes by way of the hour in which we live, he said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, you know, not with a lot of great words that could mean a lot of things but don't mean the truth, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So therefore, you could preach the cross of Christ in a tremendous and marvelous way and actually cause people to turn and look and actually cast their vote for that particular thing that God has done. And it wouldn't mean anything to them, because it wasn't with the actual understanding and wisdom that God had in that particular purpose which he accomplished through Christ. He said, the preaching of the cross to them is foolishness, but unto us that are saved is the power of God. It's written, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, Paul is saying what I said a while ago. And he's saying here, look, you can have the greatest delineation upon the things of Almighty God, which really show the wisdom of God, but if you don't understand, it won't do you any good. And the understanding of those who have an understanding apart from the true revelation will become nothing, becomes a debt. And this is what we've been preaching for many, many years, ever since Brother Branham died, that it doesn't matter how much you quote the prophet. You can end up being just like any Bible student quoting the Bible and knowing it from cover to cover, knowing where every verse is, knowing all the doctrines. But if you know them wrong, you don't have the true understanding. It doesn't avail. Now, this seems highly out of order. It would make many people indignant. But you tell me a better way there is to separate the people so that 8 people make the ark. You can't do it. They simply fall down in error when it comes to this message. Now, we're on to number 11 this morning, and last night we were hearing Brother Branham give the lie to the reincarnation bunch and the transmigration of soul bunch, and put reincarnation is widely believed in the world and is gaining great acceptance. It's gaining more and more acceptance. In fact, you'll find that many people that claim to be actually, Christians actually believe in reincarnation. They take the Bible, read it the way they want it, and perhaps what they really do is to take some little concept they had as children, find it's highly unsatisfactory in their lives, it doesn't answer any questions, and yet they know there's something to attain to, something to go on to, so reincarnation becomes an escape for them. Now, the theory is of reincarnation, we keep coming back to the same conditions, but in a personality different, in order to learn our lessons and then go on to becoming ascended masters or at least some great type of overcomer. Now, that's utter nonsense. Brother Branham said, we leave this pest house and go on to a word or spirit body, then come back to our resurrected bodies and live in a prepared place called our Father's house, wherein there's many mansions, where what we are, or what we have gone through in our lives here on earth is already done and over with, and there is no continuation of that particular kind of a life. Now, if you remember Brother Branham being in India that time, he was confronted by the Jains and by the Shiites, which are the Muslims, and also he mentioned that he was engaged in argument, philosophical debate and argument with those who took little brushes made out of leaves and they would, put it across their path so they didn't hit an ant or something because that might be either an uncle past or an uncle coming on. You weren't quite sure what it was, whether he's coming or going. You know, like the kid who came down from upstairs one day and he said, Mummy, he said, did you see Adam was made out of earth? He said, yeah. Well, he said, better come upstairs and look if he's made out of dust because either there's a man coming or going under my bed. And that's what these guys are like, just as stupid. You know, if brushing, it could be my uncle to be or my uncle that was, you know. And when Brother Branham stood before them and the showdown, the countdown was the Mount Carmel of that hour, the 20th century, to the whole world, he showed them who the living God was when he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ and the eyeballs came back in the burnt out sockets of that man that everybody knew. Now, I realize that people except us will say, well, now just a minute. Why wasn't that in the newspapers? Why didn't the world hear about it? Well, you answer me this question. Who heard about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ outside of some people in Jerusalem? You know, just because it is done in that particular way doesn't mean it's done in a corner and nobody knows anything about it. Don't you believe for 1 minute. But what that went out around the world, it had to. It went to those circles, but it instantly died because the leaders were the ones that saw that it did die. So Brother Branham speaking here is saying, now look, don't get any ideas apart from the resurrection. Because resurrection, remember, he illustrated. He took a handkerchief, and like I got one here, and he dropped it down. Now he said, if this comes up something other than a handkerchief, that is not resurrection. So therefore, when we go down in these bodies, we come back in these same bodies that are completely glorified. Now remember, you will not be tempted in your flesh, which is given to temptation and the, not only the probability, but the propensity and the certainty of sin. And know this for sure, that only one person ever lived the life. Therefore, he is Christ, and he is the overcomer. And remember, that's what was said to Adam and Eve, and she should have borne Christ. But consequently, through the redemptive blood of Jesus, and the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and the unfailing word of Almighty God, his wisdom, omnipotence, omniscience, and his omnipotence to bring it to pass, we will reign and rule on this earth 100% precisely with Christ, and even in a greater manner than was foretold in the simple first delineation of God. I'm making these people in my image, after my likeness, and they'll have dominion over the whole earth, and they'll control it all. Well, you see, that has to be fulfilled. You say, well, if it wasn't fulfilled, the word of God falls completely void. That's why when you go into the bride tree and spoken words original seed in those sermons we took, you find that Brother Branham made statements that boggle your mind. Now, the actual truth of the matter is, those words are the wisdom of Almighty God, But people, apart from understanding, it condemns them, because the Word of God is going to stand there as the judge. That's why you've got lawyers. You've got laws of the land made by a bunch of politicians. And we're just barely comparing this to God. Because, oh, listen, forget it. But you do have a system of laws in the land. And in the laws of the land, you have those that make the land. You have those that carry them out. And then you have those that interpret. Well, that's what God has done. He's put in a fivefold ministry under a prophet and the power of the Holy Spirit to bring the word to the people so they understand it. As the scripture says, with all thy wisdom, get understanding. Get all the wisdom you can, but get understanding. Now, in the time, the scripture says that Jesus was the wisdom of God and the power of God. And that one came down to earth here, preceded by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the one who was delegated to give an understanding to the people concerning the wisdom of God, which we saw, of course, in the book of Luke, and we read it just dozens of times in the first chapter, wherein it says here that John shall go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah. And he did. He was right there at the River Jordan when the Lord God of Israel came in and made Jesus Christ, his own son, his habitation. So now the Father was completely immersed in, baptized into, Jesus was that tabernacle of God. So therefore, God being in absolute complete control, John saw that. And you'll notice what it says here. He'll go before him in the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers, even the disobedient, to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. In other words, it says here, he came to give an understanding. Now, if he gave a wrong understanding, Paul would have said, well, the trumpet blew an uncertain sound, who's going to prepare to battle? Well, for all these years, there's been an uncertain sound concerning the appearing, which finally got into the understanding of the rapture through a woman who, in an Irvingite meeting, in a darkened room, spoke in tongues and interpreted and prophesied. Now, that's where everybody but us stand. The so-called fundamental has been sold a bill of goods by the devil to a woman. Therefore, it is true that everybody that believes that doctrine is under Rome, Jezebel, because a woman has no voice in doctrine. Now, I'm not saying she... Now, listen, let's get this flat so you understand where we're going, because so many people... They go, look, didn't I say this morning the blessing of the God, Lord maketh rich and doesn't add any sorrow? Doesn't it get you out of the dumps? Isn't it going to put you in heavenly places? Isn't it going to do something for you? Then listen, relax. When I talk about women, get this flat. Eve had the same life as Adam. The same qualitative, quantitative soul. But she was a female in her body. And the spirit had to have a nature that would blend in. Adam was the same way. But you can take any woman you want and any man. It's only the man that has the light in him. But the woman is of the man, so she's got the same light. But we're talking of propagation. And a woman cannot handle the spiritual things. If she could, then you'd have a church that dictates to God. Tells God what to say and to do. The church has nothing at all to do with the word of Almighty God, as though it could bring anything forth and anything to pass. It is exactly like the woman who needs an injection of life. In other words, everything is there in the woman to do what's supposed to be done, and everything is in the church. Get her with the male, it's going to be fine. Get the church with the male, it's going to be fine. Now you tell me the church is with the male, and I'll laugh in your face. if there's going to be a rapture of anybody that hasn't been with the mail, I got news for you. You're a Roman Catholic and don't even know it. You worship Diana and don't even know it. You're an agnostic, or rather a Gnostic, and don't even know it. Now, if these terms fool you, come and talk with me privately. I can even produce the books for you. And the strange thing is, the woman, the person that spilled the beans on the Gnostics was a woman researcher. So women can be thoroughly full of the Holy Ghost under obedience to Almighty God. Be a capital investment to Almighty God to bring forth magnificent dividends. And a man can be a flop and a farce, and I never heard of Satan being a female. Huh? Better think these things over so you know where I'm coming from. I know even today there can be women sitting in this church here still don't understand what I'm saying. You go, oh, for Pete's sake, settle down. Whatever slap a woman around or abuse you? Whatever treat you anything but a loving sister with respect and build you up? Are you smart off like some woman come in here? You'll get in both. You'll get in your teeth. I tell you, frankly, you will get it. I won't put up with it. But you have a real spirit of Christ in you. Who could help but love you, appreciate you, honor you? See what we're talking about. All right. Now, we read here. Was she read right here? Brother Brown is speaking. Cleared and showed positively the truth under the seventh seal, under the thunders. The reality of things to be, which reality cannot be unless there's a seed sown. So you notice every single time he goes to the Word and he tells you the progress of the Word, the hour in which we're living, and these things that are so tremendously pertinent to us. Now, I want to get the right spot here. Where we're going, because if I don't, we're not going to be able to get anywhere today. All right. Let's just go back then to page 19. And Brother Branham is talking about this place that's prepared. God fulfilling his promise. Oh, but the other one, he's talking about the devil's pest house. And if you look at this in the singular, each one of us is a pest house. And if you look at it in the plural, there's a church that's a pest house. Where all the diseased are. And if you go in there, you'll get the same stuff that they get. That's why God said to his people, I brought you out of Egypt, and you stay out of there, and you listen to me. None of those diseases will come upon you. But you go back to that pest house, you're going to get those diseases. And I can see in the Word of God today, those same diseases are amongst us. And because I see certain visitations, and I'm not one to lie to you and pull my punches, I'm worried. I'm greatly worried. Where are we? What's happening? Are we towing this line? Are we believing? Or are we just giving ourselves a bill of goods? Because those diseases are amongst us. I don't have the answer. I don't. Brother Branham said something's got to take us out of here. Does that vindicate a statement of his because his statements were vindicated? Does that now obviate the scripture of the Old Testament? Are we then prone to be heir to those things? I don't know. My own gut reaction is this. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord raise him up, and those things have no consequence. I can't simply take what Brother Branham said and then go to Scripture and say, well, it annuls it. I don't say that it does annul it. I don't say he meant to annul it. Let's get this flat. I'm confused and greatly puzzled that those things are here. Is it because we defied certain laws of nature? Even as those that destroy the earth shall be destroyed by God? are we now in that particular condition? Well, we'll soon be to the condition we already are there, where the antibiotics aren't working except in one case, and that's soon going to be blown. Now where do we go? Do we enter into immortality the last 5 minutes of gasping, dying, rotting? I don't say anything in the Word of God for that. I see more where John said that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And there never was a time when the soul is more prosperous than this hour, which we'll read. And understanding was so prolific and so great. So we're getting more understanding. Now he said, the epistouse wherein, caused by Satan, the fall, on the other hand, there's my Father's house. Now, he's making a singular comparison. What is my Father's house? Well, let's see. I'm just going to go to the same place Brother Branham went to, and that's 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And he quoted it saying, we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this old pest house, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, Brother Branham categorically said, when you see the word eternal in the King James Version, and he didn't elaborate, he said that means eternal is God's eternal. Now, you can argue that from the standpoint of the Scripture, written in Greek and Aramaic, that many times the word forever is called eternal. So therefore now we're going to have the King James Version in the light of a truly identified word of Almighty God that has no errors. Now I can't believe that because Brother Branham had to go to the Diaglot, which is the lousiest translation under high heaven to get the meaning of a word. And he himself used the Greek many, many times. He looked up references. But he said eternal. And he's quoting this very scripture. So all right, I'm putting it there. Something that was always there in God and with God in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly desire to be clothed upon which our house which is from heaven. Now that's a Father's house evidently when you put it in the singular. If so, being clothed, we should not be found naked. For this tabernacle we groan being burdened. But not we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now, right away, you're going to find that people are saying, oh, this is in the resurrection, not what Brother Branham said, because mortality is swallowed up. Well, the point is this. Mortality is swallowed. Because from that point on, there is no such thing as death. You go, and there isn't any more death, period. You passed it. Whether there's a resurrection or not. Now the point is, do we leave here and go to this particular house, leaving this house, which we do, and not come back to our bodies? The answer is absolutely, you do not bypass that. You go number one here, number two there, number one back here, which is number three. You have a duplication. The duplication is the perfection of the body, which you now have. So all right, in the singular, we have it. But also it's in the plural, where many members make one body. All the people coming together make that great heavenly area which we're going to. Now he says, I'll go and prepare a place for you, take you out of this pest house and deliver you into my Father's house. Amen. There you are. Take me out of this old earthly pest house. See? In other words, pain, sickness, sorrows, all those things are soon to go. He's gone to prepare a place, a perfect place. Now, it's not that our bodies were not perfect at that particular time. But remember, we were placed in there bypassing the spirit or word body in order to be tempted. And in temptation, there came the fall. Now remember, you cannot get by the essentiality and the intrinsicality of the wisdom of God. And that wisdom was uttered by none other than Irenaeus and 100% confirmed by Brother Branham, who added one phrase. And Irenaeus absolutely said, he said, God being a Savior, it was necessary that he would predestinate a man who would require salvation in order to give himself the reason and purpose of being. And in this message here where Brother Branham talks, the man in Germany that hated him with a terrible passion and lied about him like crazy, because I got the guy's book, and the guy's an absolute devil-possessed liar. I can tell you that. And you take my word for it, this Bible open and my hand raised toward God, I would not lie to you. He would have to be that kind of a person under the control of the devil, knowing nothing about God at all, but pretending to say the things that he said, which were absolute lies. Now, that man said, one of the men like him said, perhaps not that identical man, but like him said, same tripe. He said, God sitting back like a big fat Buddha with his hands folded on his belly, watching through all the ages, women with children ripped up and everything else. And Brother Branham said, see, he didn't understand God. He couldn't understand the nature, that is the intrinsicality of God, God's true makeup. When you look down, the way down at the end, and there you will see how that God has been completely glorified and man has been completely glorified with him. That's what they didn't understand and don't understand. So, all right. He's got to prepare a place, a perfect place, where no evil exists, or sickness and no age, old age exists, no death exists. It's a perfect place calling you to perfection. Now, if it's a place calling you, and it's a perfect place, then there has to be a deep calling to a deep. As Brother Branham said, before there was a fish with a fin to swim, God had already prepared the water to swim in. So, all right. It was already lined up because of what we are intrinsically. Our soul is a part of God, or a gene of God, as Brother Branham called it. And a gene merely is that which produces characteristics, physical and spiritual, into manifestation. Now, at the same time, you got your body holding you down with your nature, with the spirit, allowed of God but not of God, and a mind that can work with the senses. So many people can't understand how that you could be a true gene of God, which would absolutely represent the virtues of the intrinsicality and essentiality of Almighty God in that measure in you, so that you could bring it forth. So I don't think he brings anything forth. See, you roll your eyes and throw your hands up. Why? Because you're using your senses. Well, I looked around. I don't see that guy, such a wonderful guy. I don't see that woman so great. What's that guy gassing off for? What's he got? Oh, shut up and go to the Word. Get some understanding, or you'll blow it. See? Put it together. You were put in this body, God knowing you would fall. Knowing the flesh would fall. Well, we'll get some scripture here. And this is about the only paragraph I'll be able to take this morning. I see what, you know, how she understand how things are going. So, this perfect place that wasn't even there, but in the mind of God, due to his omnipotence, it had to be there. That place was not prepared for him. It was his, but prepared for us, who were only in his thoughts, but were a part of him. See? Genes of God. To bring out the essentiality of God in these children, in certain and under certain conditions. Anything but perfection. In other words, let's face it, a beautiful, wholesome apple that you are dying and starving for, and pardon my vulgar expression, was dropped into an old-fashioned outdoor toilet with 3 feet of feces and urine in it. And the apple's in there. Huh? And the apple's perfect. Huh? But my, what a surrounding. Now you get the picture? You didn't? Shall I illustrate some more? Because I'm a good illustrator. I can have you vomiting shortly if you need to. The flesh was given to be tempted. And I can take you through Scripture and show you that a seed of God can be as rotten in his flesh. Not that seed, but that manifestation of the flesh can be as rotten as any serpent seed ever thought of being. But there's still something in him we're going to talk about. All right, that deep is calling for it. Now, is there then the gene of God in these Muslims, these Jains, these Shiites, these people that believe in transmigration of souls and reincarnation, these people that deny the resurrection and these things? Is there a gene in there? No, because there's nothing calling for perfection. They'll settle for something less. That's why the Pentecostals settled for gifts instead of the Word. Oh, brother, sister, do you want a derivative or do you want the real thing? When you're talking to derivatives, you're in dangerous ground. You want the real thing. Brother Branham said, why should you settle for anything less when the heavens are full of the real? See, he's talking about gifts compared to the Word. I believe at that particular time, though, he was in favor of gifts under the right condition. It's a perfect place that's calling you to that perfection. In other words, how much do we have in our hearts toward that place? Now, Paul gives us a little psychological test. And Paul, Jesus himself, actually sets the tenor. When he said, lay not up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth that rust corrupt nor thieves break through and steal, because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then, of course, we know that Paul took it on to the place of building this edifice and coming up in this building. Now, why would you, under any consideration, even attempt to lay treasures in heaven unless there was a heaven and a place you could lay them? See, in other words, if you are a child of God with that seed, there will be a deep in there calling far beyond what this world has, where the riches can cause you sorrow, where gifts and enlargement can cause you problems, but you can never get too deep, too high, and too much in God, and really have a problem. The trouble is, we're not rich enough in God. That's where our problems come. And the deep calling in there knows it and wants the flesh to line up. But we're not like the Apostle Paul, who says, I keep under my body. Many people say, I keep my body under. You know that's not the Bible. If you take a couple of wrestlers, you get one guy on top, the other guy trying to pin him down. And just he's squirming and fighting. But you get that guy on top, suddenly get up and grab the guy, he's going to lift him above his head in an airplane stream and just him down, break his back over his knee. That's the truth of getting under the body. In other words, you get under your body, you are in control of your body. We're not here to try to pin our bodies down. We're to just yield them up to God and let God help us deal with what's in those areas there, which he certainly can do. Now, it's a perfect place calling you to that perfection. Not anybody else but you, the elect. And you have to be perfect to get there. Now, the Bible said so. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And Brother Branham qualified that. Now, he said, if God made a commandment for that, then he had to make a way for it. And, of course, the way was by the blood of Jesus Christ to scatter sin till there be no evidence. So then how can you make a man a sinner if there is no evidence? Now, it was made by the blood. Now, listen. And it's a perfect kingdom, so it must be a perfect people who come. Now, the call is to a perfect kingdom. It's to perfection. It's to the Father's house. So, all right, the people themselves must be perfect. And you know that in the book of Revelation, that's true. Because you have to stand and be married to a perfect Son of God, therefore you must be a perfect bride. Now, this is what he lays out under the seventh seal, talking about the mystery which is now revealed to us and in the open concerning heaven, what it's like, how we get there, and what we do when we do get there. And this is part of it. Now, he's telling you, by divine revelation, and it's in the Scripture, of course, no problem, we must be a perfect bride. Now, he says, now listen, how can you do it through anything else but the perfect Word of God, which is the waters of separation that washes us from our sins? Now, you will notice in here that I quoted what he said about Matthew 5:48 under the seals. He said, God demands it, therefore God must make a way for it. And he said, the blood of Jesus Christ scatters sins, and you know evidence, and how can you make a man a sinner? And he said, the blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride. Now he's talking, therefore, about two types of perfection. He has to be. Not that they are not actually one in the sense of their union for what is to be completed. But he says here now, not discounting the blood, not discrediting the blood, but he says, so how can you do it? Now there's something that you have to do. The blood was something that you and I didn't have to do. It was done for us. But now here is something you have to do. And he said, how can you do it through anything else but the perfect Word of God, which is the waters of separation that washes us from our sins? Now there, of course, he is quoting Ephesians. So we know where to go. And that's very simple. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I read it the other night. And it says, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now you're talking about the blood, right? You're talking about the blood. He gave himself for it. Now notice, he gave himself for it. This is the primary step of which number two could not come into existence, but is 100% bonded to step number one, which I'll prove to you through John. You understand what I'm saying? You don't get number two without number one, and number one doesn't do you any good without number two. So, all right, we understand that, don't we? Okay. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, not blood, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, here we're looking at what is in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, a church that has come through the complete period of the sanctifying word through the Holy Ghost himself coming down to a word prophet and going to a fivefold ministry, and I mean fivefold, because it says so. There it brings a bride to perfection based upon what has already been accomplished. Now, let me read it in Galatians. Now, I hope you follow me. If you can't, you get the tape because you got to have it. That's all there is to it. We're looking at Galatians, the third chapter. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. How? Hanged upon a tree. It's written, curses everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Now watch. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ, which is what? To receive the Holy Spirit of promise through faith. So, all right. Now, why is the Holy Spirit given? To seal us into the day of redemption, which is down the road 2,000 years, when he was given, and to bring the church into the wisdom of Almighty God, which is to lead us into all truth, making us one with him. You understand what we're saying? All right. I'll prove that now by the third chapter of John. And I've run this many, many times, and except for Brother Branham, I would no more have gotten this than pigs can fly to the sun and come back again in a very healthy condition. Just absolutely impossible. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why. Say, I believe it, I got it. Like fun, you got it. Let's just keep reading. Oh, I love this even more. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. Sure got that better than ever. Now watch. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. Because, oh, hey, I love that. Now I'm really going great guns. I'm sealed in, sealed in. I'd buy that. Hey, man, I love that. Just a minute, I'm not through reading. And this is the just a minute. I thought there was no condemnation. Now there's condemnation. That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Neither cometh through the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth comes through the light, and his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. Now it tells you right there, the blood of Jesus Christ does not avail without the word. You say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, that's fine by me. You believe anything you want, but I got some more scripture. It's over here in the type of the book of Hebrews. And where are we down here? If I can't find it, I have to quote it to you. All right, here we are, verse 26 of Hebrews 10. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. So therefore, when there's a sacrifice, there's got to be a knowledge of truth. So if you turn down the knowledge of the truth, the sacrifice is worthless. It's not only worthless to you, but it becomes a debt to you. Because now, listen, let's read some more. But a certain fearful looking forward judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Adversaries of what? The sacrifice? No, the word. Now watch. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified. That's the number one sanctification, an unholy thing, and done despot to the Spirit of grace. In other words, he turned down the sanctifying word, which there's no sanctifying word without sanctifying blood, and there's no sanctifying blood without sanctifying word. They go together. So you see our double principle here we're looking at. You can see in one place where Brother Branham talks of the blood, and the next place the word. Now, how can you do it? Through anything else but the perfect word of God. Now there again, you can say, I believe the word of God. Like the old gal said, I believe the word of God from kibber to kibber. Bless God, and even believe the kibbers. Oh, that's very cute, you know. Very cute. But the old girl really didn't. Now, as soon as it came to her finding out that her mother and father didn't believe that, well, what's good enough for Pappy and good enough for Mammy is good enough for me. Well, that's good for the old whore and her husband, the devil. My mother's religion didn't mean a thing to me. It still doesn't if she still got it. God knows she'd be dead a long time. My father's, my wife's mother, I don't know what she had, but I know her father's religion didn't mean much to me either. I knew what he had. And I can tell you, your religion might not mean anything either. And might not mean a thing to you. The point is what is correct. And Brother Branham brought the truth when he said, you can neither worship and serve God without a prophet. Now, 2,000 years from the time of the fall of the bride, when the bride's mind was already corrupted, and the prophecy, positively the infallible, inerrant word of Almighty God, said it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse till she's wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and flaunts her flusy form across the platform in her high heels, short skirts, and short hair. Here's your Pentecostal harlot. And Miss Oneness isn't anywhere behind her anymore. Here's your fundamental churches, so-called. The whole stinking bunch of them out there in their prostitution. Now, how are they going to make it on the blood of Jesus Christ? You ask me that. I want an answer. My Bible says it's a twofold. You can't get one without the other. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin, opening up your life in order to receive the Holy Ghost, in order that you receive the Word. Now remember, the Holy Ghost is given for you to receive that Word life in there, that Word of God, water you and bring you to perfection. Now he said, how can you do it? Now you're doing it through anything else but the perfect Word of Almighty God, which is the waters of separation that washes us from our sins. Now the washing from what sins? The sin of unbelief. The sin of not understanding and knowing the Word of God in that hour. Because this is what you're looking at. If John the Baptist turned the hearts of the fathers to the children, this prophet turns the hearts of the children to the fathers, which absolutely, according to Luke, establishes the truth that that means gives understanding. In other words, Jesus coming on the scene would have been a flop without John the Baptist. And so I just can't take that. You don't have to take anything. You don't have to take anything. I pose this question to everybody who questions Brother Branham coming on the scene like the Apostle Paul. You show me one reason why Almighty God, encapsulating Himself in Jesus Christ, His Son, at the River Jordan, needed John the Baptist, except it's in the Word explained to you. How come you believe it? The point is, they don't believe it. They give lip service. If they believed it, they believe what is being said today. Elijah must truly come and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. They don't believe it. They don't see the Gentile sign of Jonah in the resurrection. Within 3 days and three nights, he had to come forth. And so it is that the Spirit of God had to come forth from the captivity in a rotten, destitute church until he left it. Had to come forth in the between the first and third day, which he appears at the end of the second day, bringing us into the third. And we're in the third right now. We're at the year 2001. We're into the third day. The rumor of his appearing, of him being alive, came under Luther. It was confirmed more under Wesley. Brought into such manifestation under Pentecost, they were sure that was it, but it wasn't. It was just a shuck. And they turned down reality. And there's the picture right there, scientific. Well, I don't know if I believe it. Well, I do. I'm everything. Everything I... Look, if I don't believe that, I don't believe anything. Well, Brother Bailey, you're just confused. Not like your confusion, bless God. The waters of separation. Now, the waters of separation are very, very important to us. Because it is the Word that separates. As Brother Branham said, under divine inspiration, positively the Word separates, and it surely did. Now, I'm going to take more of this later on, so I want to go on. That, amen, that's right, the blood of Jesus Christ, think of it. Now watch now, he's going back to the blood, which he did not touch at the first. Now you'll notice in here, he does not separate the blood and the Word. I've done it on purpose, because there's a chronology that I'm looking at. Now, Brother Branham reverses it, and in reversing it, he makes it one and the same. Now, watch how he does it. That's right, the blood of Jesus Christ, think of it. Now, watch. The dripping, bloody Word. Now, you don't get blood out of a Word unless the Word is manifest in flesh. And if the Word becomes flesh, now watch what I am saying. If the Word becomes flesh, that's exactly like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. The chrysalis formed the whole thing. In other words, what was there becomes. Now you talk about mutation. Mutation is right in the world, you prove it. But this is not a mutation on the grounds that God himself mutates, no way, shape, and form. It is God becoming. And I love the way that Brother Branham uses the word become. And you notice nobody used it until this century the way he used it. And he goes right back to the Gospel of John, the first chapter. All right. Amen. The blood. The word of God, bleeding blood, to wash the bride in. Amen. Yes, sir. She stands perfect, virgin, unadulterated. She never sinned in the first place. Amen. She was trapped into it. See, there's the Father's house that he's gone to prepare. Now, let me take you to where we got to go. I won't take this down the road. I'm going to bring it this morning because I brought it many, many times. Again, it's in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Now, listen carefully. Well, we'll start at the first verse and lead up it. Beloved, now are we this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, it doesn't say, behold, the manner of love the Father bestowed, that you are the sons of God. It said you should be called that. In other words, you have that name bestowed upon you, and you couldn't have it except you are. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Now, he was the Word. They didn't know it. Didn't know he was the Son of God. Many people still don't know. They try to make the Son the Father the Son. That's why the people that are Trinity all went Jesus only. Brother Branham was not Jesus only. Neither was Paul the Apostle. Neither are we. But we're called that. Even reading what Brother Branham said, now there's two of them. The Father talking to the Son talking to the Father. No Jesus only ever said that, nor can he say it. So Brother Branham taught two gods, eh? Now come on, let's get this flat. Where are those people that say they believe this message? Where's the understanding? I want to know. Once in a while, you see that guy Dale, he's all intellect. Check me out sometime, see how much intellect I really do have. You might be surprised. Maybe a 10-year-old kid could whip me at the post. Beloved, now we're the sons of God. It doth not yet appear where we shall be, but we know that he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now in his appearing, we're going to see him as he is. The complete revelation, and that's going to bring about our change. There, he's got to be down here on earth. And every man that hath this hope in himself purified himself, even as he is pure. Now, until you see what we are seeing concerning the appearing, which cannot be without the presence, you're not going to make it. There's no way to purify yourself. Can't do it. You got to have that hope in you. You got to have that knowledge. Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know, now we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. In other words, he never ever defiled the Word or was 1 inch apart from it. He was the Word, absolutely living Word, absolutely bleeding Word, so therefore we are cleansed by Word blood. The dripping, bleeding Word. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Well, all right, that sounds very good, doesn't it? Oh, that really puts the fear of God into people because, oh my, I can be taken away as a branch. I might not be abiding him. Ho, 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 ho. Well, ho, 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 shut up and listen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed with all spiritual blessings in heaven and face in Christ Jesus, according as chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Where were we before there's a foundation in him? So let's read it again. Or back here in 1 John. And it says here, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Well, how do you get into him according to Scripture right now? I'm born into him, baptized into him. Where were you in the beginning? I was in him, brought down here in sinful flesh, now I'm baptized with the Holy Ghost, sealing my body into the day of redemption. But if I was in him, and that in me is now here in here, then this in me never did sin. Let's find out. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Remember in that day he said, I never knew you. Do we know him, he knows? Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness in righteousness doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. You mean to tell me that I have the same righteousness, the qualitative factors of that purity of conduct and mind, behavior, contemplation, everything else he had? Hogwash. Not like he had it. I've only got a teeny measure. As I've said many a time, only Jesus Christ ever lived the world, but we believe it. And therein is where we are as righteous as he is, because we believe that same word. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. All right, was Jesus born of God? Aren't we identical except we bypass that word body, that spirit body that Brother Branham called theophany? You show me where we're different. The prophet said there's no difference. So the how then is the intrinsic you, that gene, that soul of God, that God gave you and gave you that soul? How can it ever sin? How can it ever have? And sin is unbelief. See, in other words, the deep calling to the deep, you have that deep, there's no way you can't want it. And there's no way the others can want it. You say, just a minute, I believe they do. Not the way you and I want it, under the conditions you and I want it, and the expectations you and I want it, and what we're going to do with it when we get there. Oh, no. Oh, no, they've got it all figured out. That's very cute. You know, the Muslims, they got the idea. If you become a martyr, like this one guy, he was going to marry this girl. And so he wrote a little note and said, I'm going to go to the temple to pray. And he went there with a bomb and blew some people up, and he got blown up. And now they're all rejoicing. Now, he's going to have a lot of wives in heaven. He's a martyr. Now, let's take another Muslim. He's mad at the PLO. So the Shiite gets mad at the Jain. So the Jain becomes a martyr, and he kills a Shiite. Now, the Shiite's a martyr. The Jain's a martyr. But who's the real martyr? I want to know. That's a good question. You follow what I'm saying? The Jain says he's right, the Shiite says he's right, and they're both martyrs. Now they both can't be right. Huh? Well, they can't be. They're both wrong. And they are. Who's going to get all the women then? It's like the Mormons. I'm showing you something here. We don't go to that kind of a place. So get rid of all the crud that's in our brains. No, there's no longing for that stuff. There's no desire and no want. Now, you can be perfectly human, perfectly human appetites. I'm not against it. I went through it myself. No problem. The thing is, when you see the Word of God here, you are 100% reconciled to the Word of God, knowing that this is a perfect place, and this place here, in spite of a harem and $1 billion and living 2,000 years in good health, it's still hell. And a pest house. I laid that on the line, didn't I? It's on the tape, too, and I can't take it back. I'll make it even stronger, if you like. 6,000 years in good health. Good hell. Never heard of a good hell yet. Whosoever is born of God issues forth from God. These bodies didn't. That soul issued forth from God and was put down here in natural election and predestination by the foreknowledge of God. I don't know why people don't understand the word. Now listen, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's a double statement. He that's born of God cannot commit sin, and I'll tell you why, because that seed never ever leaves, it never changes, it's all the same, and there's no way he can sin. I just told you, said John, he's born of God. Because they said, why? He said, didn't you hear what I said? There's a big difference between us and Jesus. When the Father spoke, he heard. Oh my, what a tremendous thing. What a tremendous thing. But you know it's coming again. Everything we're wishing for that we'd like here is not going to be here, brother, sister. It's going to be there. Every deep we have. Every deep. I won't tell you what my greatest deep is, but it's going to be realized. If I'm part of him, it'll be realized. You won't be shocked if you hear it. It's very, very pure. It's very wonderful, but I'm not going to say it, because then you say, well, I think I believe the same way you do, Brother Dale. Every one of us is different. What you desire will be so much different, perhaps, than what I desire, but you'll still get your wish, your desire, because the deep is calling.
because it's part of it. And I will get what you're wanting, but it'll be second place to me. Well, you'll get what I'm desiring, it might be second place to you. I'm just talking about an order of desire. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And that righteousness in there is an act of worship according to the word or not according to the word. We went through that dozens and dozens of times. We can understand it. So, all right. What we're looking at here then is the fact that you cannot separate the word and the blood because it was the word that became flesh, and therefore it was a bleeding, dying word, so to speak. A bloody, dripping blood word. Now, the blood, the word of God bleeding to wash the bride in. Now, there again we have the truth of that. And the truth of that is in the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter. At the 7th church age, at the last time man gets a chance to repent. And remember, the Bible says during the great tribulation, they did not repent because they couldn't repent. And in Hebrews 6, there comes a time when repentance is not granted. They have the final opportunity to believe. And they turn it down and they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now, Brother Branham said, as I said on the Good Friday message, that's to crucify themselves. And people really don't realize that. They don't realize if I stood up here and I'm giving a great speech, like pretending I'm honoring you and I'm building myself up, then I'm not honoring you, I'm honoring me. And so therefore, when they crucify to themselves the Son of God, they're actually crucifying themselves. They're crucifying that word. They're crucifying everything it stands for. Well, sure glad we got rid of that guy. One of those preachers said, well, when Brother Branham got killed, well, he said it's about time that whatever he called him got killed, bless God. Well, that guy wasn't even fit to lick Brother Branham's boots after they'd been soaking in manure for the last 10 years. Polish him with his tongue. But I wouldn't let him near his boots. If that's tough preaching, you got it. You can put it out of your mind or leave it in there. It doesn't matter to me. Now listen, amen, yes, sir. She stands perfect, virgin, unadulterated. Now notice those statements. Perfect, virgin, unadulterated. In other words, the status is 100% what God wanted, fresh from the hand of God, what God wants. Now what does God want? He wants his children. Wants those souls. They always were perfect. Brother Branham said there'll come a day and you realize you always were saved. See? Now notice, she never sinned in the first place. And that's what we read over here in John. In the first place, she was in him. And in the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and eternally she's in him. And a part of him. How are you going to make that part of God disbelieve God's own word when he himself is known as the Word and became flesh? Now you and I are no different. We as Word in our portion and measure became flesh for our time. And in this last hour of manifested sons, we positively know who are really manifested because the showdown is here through judgment. The judge is here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 to 10. And that's when you come into Isaiah chapter 42 and also to Matthew the 4th chapter and in chapter 12, because chapter 12 is the elaboration of chapter 4, and it says, till he send forth judgment unto victory, that's to the Gentiles, bringing judgment to the Gentiles, avenging them. Listen, do you realize the Jews have hated us Gentiles all these years? And they milk the Gentiles' breast, they run our money, everything else, let's face it. They can't stand the name of Jesus Christ. Well, he could have been a prophet, he might have made a mistake. And the trouble is, we hate them because of the name of Jesus. It's a dislike, dislike, hate, hate is not a love, love. This has been going on and on and on. Now the showdown comes because they've always had prophets. They didn't get one because they killed the last one, and we've got him right there. Avenging the Gentiles. Yeah. Now what else does it say? Show judgment to the Gentiles, avenging them, and sending for judgment unto victory. Now what is the victory? The victory is over in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's read it. Paul is speaking of the resurrection and those standing here that don't die. And it says in verse 49, we bore the image of earth, you bore the image of the heavenly. This I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither corruption, incorruption. Behold, I show you Israel, and all people will all be chained, won't chained, now the last trumpet, shall sound. And what is going to happen? The trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are going to be raised, incorruptible. And we shall be changed to be just like them. For this corruptible right now that's dying must put on something that cannot die, that cannot corrupt. And this mortal dying must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put in corruption, mortal immortality, that's in the resurrection and the changing of our bodies. It says, death is swallowed up in the victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? It doesn't say that. It says, oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Tells you right there. So, there's going to be a resurrection and a change to immortality in this hour, proven by that. That's Isaiah 42, not 61. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. She never sinned in the first place. How could she? She was trapped into it. Well, she certainly was. She wasn't even in the original creation. Now, does that make her an inferior creature? No. No, she's out of due season. She's identical to Adam. She's taken out of Adam. Everything Adam was, she's put into her for childbearing. Because she doesn't have seed, she doesn't have direction. She can't procreate. See, only the male can do it. The male must be with her the same as our male has to be with us. It's not that we don't have the same soul life. It's not that we don't have these things. We are like him. We only bypass that one area. But now, through the baptism with the Holy Ghost, it's commensurate to a word body under these conditions. But I'll tell you one thing. I won't change this for my word body coming. You better believe I'm not interested. I want to get out of here, period. No question marks, no waiting. Get out of this pest house. So she was trapped into it. She certainly was. She certainly was. That word is seduction. It means to think something is right and it's not. Mean be taken to the cleaners all the time. You think you're building up a bigger bank account for your retirement. It means that you're being controlled by Maxwell, the Mossad double agent Jew that ran the big publishing firms and stole all the people's retirement fund. And they're doing it all over the world. And the government's just aching to get every cent from our retirement funds right now. And they're going to get it. You know why? Oh, come on, smarten up. Who runs the money? Come on. You weren't born yesterday. Who has the paper? Who has the gold? And they're going to have a great marriage, make them very happy. The Pope in Rome, and everybody's going to just marvel. Stand back and marvel. Commerce is running again. Industry's moving again. Her retirement didn't go down the drain after all. It's wonderful. I'm going to be out of here, bless God. If I ain't, I'll give you $50 to cut my throat. Do me a favor. Anything I got, you can have. I don't want to be here. Brother Branham said, I'd sooner have the oath of the Knights of Columbus perpetrated upon me than 5 minutes in the Great Tribulation. I don't know what he meant, except I know it's terrible. That marriage, brother, sister, made on earth in the pit of hell, is going to take over acting as though it's the kingdom of God. And that means what? Omniscience and omnipotence. Absolute sovereignty. Everything controlled on this earth by the enemy. I don't want to be it. Now, she was trapped into it. Yep. But there's the Father's house that he's gone to prepare. So we're looking at the double again. We're looking at each individual going to that which God had prepared them according to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, about the first 5 verses. And we're also looking at what Jesus said collectively, as Brother Branham will later bring on, many. It's going to be a tremendous thing, not a civilization like ours. No. But it's going to be something different. It's going to be what God wants, and God in complete and perfect order. Okay, we're going to stop right here and see what happens, if we ever get back to you or not. I don't know what Brother Hall's going to do or what I'm going to do. But anyway, the thing that you love the Lord this morning, that's the main thing. And now you're getting your eyes open more and more again, what we're preaching and seeing, that this is right down to earth. But it's, though we are in the chicken pen of this age, we're eagles, just the same. Our minds are no longer encumbered with what is in the muck and the mire. We know that down here, just the same, we have received an inheritance. We've received the Word of God in us, His riches. Don't look at the vessel. Just think what's in us and where that's going as we drop this. If we die, and thank God if we don't die, it's going to be changed. I'm going to like that. I'm going to like it more than you know, because ever since a child, my mother got angry. She could have hit me with the end of an axe if she'd have had one. I don't know which end. And I said, Ma, I bleed. I was not even 12 years old. Maybe 10 somewhere there. I said, you know, I bleed. The one time I'm going to relax perfectly in my life is when my soul leaves my body, and not before. In other words, I could only see rigor mortis doing anything for me as far as this body's concerned. And I think I must have got that from God, because I believe it's the same thing right today. If I could get out of here, I wouldn't care too bad about the old hunk of junk. It hasn't been doing me too good lately anyway. I don't know I've been doing it too well lately either. I think maybe together we both got a beef. But I think I'm bigger than my body. I can leave it, get out of here and leave it behind. And I really believe at that moment, as I get out, I'm going to feel real good. I know about you, what you're thinking is. I don't mind letting my hair down and telling what I believe. I believe it's going to be great. But it's going to be great just to leave this old pest house. I'm not unhappy with it in the sense that it hasn't served me to a degree. Sure it has. But it's been heir to ills and subject to temptation, which it was only too happy to get into. You know, I think I was like the farmer's pig. Every time the farmer met the pig, he booted the pig in the ribs. And the guy said, what for? Well, he said, it's either coming out of mischief or going into it. And I think that's... So I'm glad to give my body a boot with the help of the Lord. I know you are too. I know we don't understand every mystery, every feeling, but we do know something inside of us. We went toward that truth. And brother, sister, many people thought they had it, but when the Word came, it vanished. Oh, they still believe they have that in there, that feeling and all, but it isn't going to work. It's got to come by the renewed mind. The Word of God bringing us to that place of perfect faith, demonstrating to us, never mind the world will never believe it, but demonstrating to us in our own faith, like Abraham in that assurance of faith, I know I'm a son of God. There is my evidence. I understand. I believe. I know. So that's it this morning. The Lord bless you, and we'll just rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time of fellowship we've had with your lovely children here, knowing that the prophet vindicated, told us the truth, and there is a place for us, Lord. And I know that that if we could be in that little hazy realm the disciples were when they met you in the resurrection and saw you and felt you and hugged you and restrained you to stay and then met you later on, but they were still foggy. But there came a day when the fog lifted and everyone walking in that light, which was positively assured to them when you were here, and they walked in it, and Lord, they went down that road with the clarity and understanding to meet their Maker and their God, as has not been seen, I believe, except in a few people through the ages, and now today it returns on this earth where we too may be in a bit of a fog in between. But Lord, that light once having broke through the gloomy clouds of this hour, shining upon our hearts, is going to bring us right into that, as the prophet said, under vindication. Absolutely, we know that we're in Him and Him in us, and we are united, walking in the light as He is in light, and have fellowship, and going up to be with that Spirit amongst us that's going to be incarnated to crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, we know that that hope has been assured unto us and proven by the vindication we have seen. Lord, let Your people never, ever depart one iota, but increase daily in magnitude concerning the truth of the vindication of this hour, and we believe it. And Lord, we know that is our portion. That is what we do. We believe what has been done for us and receive it and bless Your name for it. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior. Amen. Take the name of Jesus.